possible.
Thanks to all who read. At this time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Colleen D. from the Rock Creek area, speaking on the only requirement.
Hi, I'm Colleen. I'm an addict. I had asked for a larger room, but this will have to do. What the fuck? This room is really huge for those who are listening on tape. There's 90 gajillion chairs in here, and about 15 of us, so no. I was asked to speak on the only requirement, and I want to thank the programming committee for asking me to speak. It's always an honor, and it's one of those things that I forget how I feel before I speak every time when I say yes the next time, because I've been, like, freaking out for 2 hours, so whatever. It's cool. We're all here together, and we love each other, and it's good. My clean date is January 18th, 2001, and that's something I'm super grateful for. And this nice sticker says I have 4,467 days today, which is pretty cool. I was doing a little, I don't normally like to prep before you speak because I think it kind of kills it, but on a workshop I like to have done some reading and come a little bit prepared. So I was looking into like the only requirement, and that is from our third tradition. If you were unfamiliar, that's our third tradition that states the only requirement for NA membership is the desire to stop using. It brought me back to, I got clean in Houston, Texas, and I guess I had like 2 or 3 years clean when I started doing a traditions working group with my sponsor and a group of women. And we found these like renegade tradition working guides that like had been passed around like on the fly somewhere from like Arizona or something like that. So we're like going through it, and this tradition like really struck with me because like that's it. Like there's one requirement and it's a desire. Like that's just it. And so I like was reading through the tradition in preparation for this workshop, and I pulled out some quotes because I think when you're speaking on a tradition, it's important to reference the literature. So it says on page 65 that desire is the basis of our recovery. And it says, one painful fact of life has emerged again and again. An addict who does not want to stop using will not stop using. They can be analyzed, counseled, reasoned with, prayed over, threatened, beaten, or locked up, but they will not stop until they want to stop. The only thing we ask of our members is that they have this desire. Without it, they are doomed, but with it, miracles will happen. And that's also on page 65 in our basic text. And I just, when I got here, I did not have the desire. I did not want what you had to offer, and I was really mad at you for trying to tell me all about it. I was 17 when I got clean, so I got put into some rehabs when I was like 16, and you know, I was just like a loudmouth, rebellious kid, and like I didn't give a shit about getting clean. Like I was the last person to know that I was a drug addict, and I really hadn't come to terms with it at that point. It's interesting. I sponsor someone now, and I love her, and she's here. So I was going to talk about her anonymously, but she's here, so whatever. And I like did something really dumb last week, trying to be a helpful sponsor. I just like wrote this like nice email, or not nice. It was not nice, but about like the desire, you know, and like that. That's like the basis that we all work from, you know, and it's like the one thing that like I can't sit down across the table from you and talk to you about to like instill in you. Like that's the one thing that like you have to like somehow find and bring to the table before like any of this shit can take off, you know. And as a sponsor, that can be like really frustrating, right? Because like we want everyone to get this, because like I know for me, like my life is pretty cool now and pretty amazing, and it can be hard for me to like recognize where my boundary is to like try to stop pushing and just release with love. And so I was thinking about that when I read it, and also the fact that like I didn't have the desire, and I don't know like when for me it hit. Like I got put into some treatment facilities, and they were really fun, and Yeah, that's a long story in and of itself. But so basically, like, once I got was released, my parents were given this information about, like, 12-step programs and, like, that they would be a really good idea. So, like, my parents being, like, good parents, like, just they enrolled me into a brand new high school because, you know, I wouldn't be a drug addict then. And they drove me to and from this high school wearing business clothes because if I dressed like a businesswoman in high school, then I also wouldn't be a drug addict. So that was fun. So they drove me to and from high school in business suits. And then after high school, they drove me to this 12-step program for teenagers, still in said business suits. And that was it. Like, that was my life for a while, you know? It was like going to school and fucking going to meetings. And, like, I hated it. Like, I was not happy. And, you know, like, thank God for that program, though, honestly. I think I managed to string a couple days together, you know? Like, I think I got, like, 30 days. And then I looked up, and it was, like, 60 days. And I still was not, like, cool about this whole thing. And I think it was along the, like, 90-day marker where I just gave up. Like, it wasn't, like, hooray, NA. Like, I just gave up. I was so tired of fighting. Like, my whole active addiction, I'd been fighting and fighting and fighting, you know, like, running away from home and using and stealing and lying and doing all the things that we do. And I was just tired. Like, and that was it. Like, I was just tired. And I guess that's what, like, my desire looked like at the time, was just, like, that sick and tired of being sick and tired, as cliche as it is. And, like, I stayed clean ever since, you know. Yeah. So, you know, and thinking about, like, desire and working with newcomers, you know, like, it's so hard, you know, like, to want it. And I was thinking, like, why? Like, we come in and we're so miserable, you know? Like, life is not generally good for us when we show up here. Like, there's exceptions, of course, you know. Yay for you if that was you, but, like, that was not me. But we're so resistant to, like, this idea of change that, like, something could get better, you know? And that just baffles my mind. I don't know. I was doing more of the reading, and one thing that I love about this tradition is, like, it puts us all on equal footing, right? It's the only requirement for membership is the desire. So, like, beyond that, like, you don't get to tell me what I'm supposed to look like, how many meetings I'm supposed to attend a week, like, what kind of sponsor I'm supposed to have. Like, we all tell each other those things all the time, so we judge the shit out of each other for, like, not doing what we think we should be doing. But, like, at the end of the day, like, all I have to show up here is a desire, you know? And I just think there's something really freeing in that, you know? Like, I don't have to subscribe to, like, your vision or your vision or your vision of what the perfect recovering addict in this program looks like. I can take what you have to offer and show up just as I am and make this program work for me in a way that's just mine, you know? And there's something really nice in that. I don't know, and I just think it's, like, also a thing that's easy to forget, you know? Because, like, we start coming around a while, and then we run into the same personalities, and we go to our same every weekly meetings where there's, like, that guy, you know, like, that guy that everyone is, like, rolls their eyes and he, like, starts to share. And, you know, they, like, hug him, but it's not super nice. And I don't know. I just think, like, it's a good reminder for me to, like, take away the judgment, you know. And a lot of the readings talked about, like, taking away the judgment. And I love the way that our literature is written sometimes because it's super, like, like your nagging mom, you know, like, well, if you cleaned your room, you'd be free from this mess. And I'm like, thanks. So it says, like, a generous, this is from It Works How and Why. It says, a generous application of compassion is more therapeutic to the suffering addict than a free application of judgment. And I think that that's nice, too, but it's also one of those, like, you'll be free from it if you do, like, a really hard thing. So it's not always usually helpful. One of the most important things, I think, when working with others and the third tradition is that desire is not a measurable commodity. And it says that on page 106 in It Works How and Why. Desire is not an immeasurable commodity. Like, I don't get to determine your desire. I don't get to say that you fit or you don't fit, or, like, you have to do X, Y, and Z to be here. Like, that's bullshit, you know? And if anybody tries to run you out, like, fuck them and keep coming back. Like, sorry, I know we're not supposed to swear, but like, dude. This tradition means a lot for me because I moved to Washington, D.C. like 5 or 6 years ago, and I enrolled in college, which was like a gift of recovery. I got clean in Houston, like I said, and I was 17, and I got a job waitressing while I was finishing high school, and I worked at this 50s diner with the stupid uniform with the flower and everything. And the people that I was working with were these like 70-year-old women that were also waitressing. And it kind of just instilled in me, like, maybe go to college. Like, I don't necessarily want to do this when I'm 70, so, like, maybe go to college. So I started going to community college in Houston, and I finished my little 2-year degree. It took me 4.5 years to do it because I was, you know, it's not a race. Like, we get clean, we go to meetings, we have a job, we got to pay for life, and whatever. And I did that for a while, and then I decided that I was kind of bored with my life and wanted to move and go to college. So I moved up here to finish my bachelor's degree, and the school that I went to is really unique, and I like gave myself the opportunity to do some of the things that I had missed from like my using. So I like moved into the dorms, and like I did the whole like college experience at like 24. So when you don't use on a college campus, that really only leaves you to hang out with a religious group, which I was also not a part of. But whatever, I don't know why I said that, but it was a nice experience, I guess. So after I moved, I was like trying to get settled at the school and like trying to make my footing in NA and like dealing with like mad depression because going to college sucks. And it was like really overwhelming that first like few months of like living in DC, and I went home for Christmas break, and I was like more miserable than I'd ever been in my entire life, and I came back up in January for the second semester with not a lot of hope, and like things got better, but I say all this to say that like around that time I made the decision to like not go to meetings. It was like a super active decision on my part, and I decided, you know, I'm at this school for like X amount of time, like a year and a half now, and it's a really unique program. It's in a foreign language, so I was like living and breathing in my foreign language, and I was like, you know, I'm just gonna like do this right now, because at the end of the first semester I felt like I had half a foot at school and half a foot in NA, and every time I showed up at a meeting it was, where have you been, which is not like nice to see you, but I'm from the South, so I'm sensitive to that kind of thing. So and like at school I just wasn't clicking, so like I was like, okay, I'm just gonna put a hold on this meeting thing, and I probably had like 7 years clean, and I made the promise to myself and to my sponsor and to my mom that like if it got bad, like I knew what I would have to do. I'd have to show back up like a newcomer and make friends the hard way, you know, like because when you detach from this program, like it can take a while before you find your people and like network in and like find, you know, your zone again. And that's like a lot of work, you know. And I was like, okay, Colleen, like this is what you're gonna do. And I did it, you know, and I was okay. And I lived, and everybody lived. And I don't say that to advertise not going to meetings. I'm just saying that, like, my membership in this program changed. But, like, because of this tradition, like, I'm still a member of Narcotics Anonymous, and I was for that time, and that's what I needed to do for that time to, like, experience my recovery in that way. And I'm grateful I did it, and I would do it again. And one of the things that I'm more grateful for, though, is that, like, now I'm super plugged back into NA. Because it was hard coming back. I didn't know anyone, and I don't really like people. They're scary, and they want to like talk to you and on the phone, and I don't understand why. But so it was hard for me to like come back in and feel like a member again. And I think anybody that's gotten clean and moved to a new area, I mean, it's sort of like Wizard of Oz. Just like there's no place like home. I just never felt like you guys did it right up here, and I still don't. But I've made my peace with it. So. You know, it was tough, and now, like, you know, 2 years, 3 years later, like, I'm completely in the middle of NA, like, where I was before, when it felt, like, good, and, like, in that sweet spot when I was in Houston, and I had, like, 2 years clean and a gajillion service positions, and it feels like that all over again, and that energy, like, is just really nice, you know, and that came from, like, a whole crop of newcomers, like, just showing up and attaching them at your hip, You know, it's funny because with 10 years clean, I thought, like, I've got this. But, like, it took, like, a car full of newcomers to, like, plug me back into this program. And I'm grateful for all of that. And, yeah, so it's just really good to be able to be of service and to know that, like, however, like, I need to work this program that works for me, like, is okay. And this tradition guarantees me of that. Like, you don't have to be, like, the shining star of Narcotics Anonymous to be a member. Like, all you have to do is want it. Like, that's beautiful. Like, you can show up just as you are, like, your lying, cheating self, and, like, before you get all the principles, and, like, we'll love you, and, like, that's enough. Like, just who you are right now today in this chair is, like, enough. And that was just sort of, like, my takeaway from this tradition. So that's really all I have, and that was not 25 minutes. I do apologize. I've never been a speaker of 25 minutes, but that's what I have to say. Thanks for letting me share.